From the halls of Lord Pisander, Polyctor's son, a servant brought a choker, a fine gleaming treasure, and so each suitor in turn laid on a handsome gift. Then the noble queen withdrew to her upper room, a file of waiting ladies close behind her, bearing the gorgeous presents in their arms. Now the suitors turned to dance and song, to the lovely beat and sway, waiting for dusk to come upon them there. And the dark night came upon them, lost in pleasure. They rushed to set up three braziers along the walls to give them light, pile them high with kindling, sear, well seasoned, just split with an axe, and mixed in chips to keep the torches flaring. The maids of Odysseus, steady man, took turns to keep the fires up, but the king himself, dear to the gods and cunning to the core, gave them orders brusquely. "Maids of Odysseus, your master gone so long, quick now, off you go to the room where your queen and mistress waits. Sit with her there, and try to lift her spirits, combing wool in your hands, or spinning yarn. But I will trim the torches for all her suitors, even if they would like to revel on till morning mounts her throne. They'll never wear me down. I have a name for lasting out the worst." At that the women burst into laughter, glancing back and forth. Flushed with beauty, Melantho mocked him shamelessly. Dolius was her father, but Penelope brought her up. She treated her like her own child and gave her toys to cheer her heart, but despite that her heart felt nothing for all her mistress's anguish now. She was Eurymachus's lover, always slept with him. She was the one who mocked her king and taunted, "Cock of the walk! Did someone beat your brains out? Why not go to bed down at the blacksmith's cozy forge, or a public place where tramps collect? Why here, blithering on non-stop, bold as brass in the face of all these lords? No fear in your heart? Wine's got to your wits? Or do you always play the fool and babble nonsense? Lost your head, have you, because you drubbed that hobo, Iris? You wait. A better man than Iris will take you on. He'll box both sides of your skull with heavy fists and cart you out of the palace, gushing blood. You wait, you bitch." The hardened veteran flashed a killing look. "I'll go straight to the prince with your foul talk. The prince will chop you to pieces here and now." His fury sent the women fluttering off, scattering down the hall with panic shaking every limb. They knew he spoke the truth. But he took up his post by the flaring braziers, tending the fires closely, looking after them all, though the heart inside him stirred with other things, ranging ahead now to all that must be done. But Athena had no mind to let the brazen suitors hold back now from their heart-rending insults. She meant to make the anguish cut still deeper into the core of Laertes' son Odysseus. Polybus's son Eurymachus launched in first, baiting the king to give his friends a laugh. "Listen to me, you lords who caught our noble queen. I simply have to say what's on my mind. Look, surely the gods have fetched this beggar here to Odysseus's house. At least our torchlight seems to come from the sheen of the man's own head. There's not a hair on his bald pate, not a wisp." Then he wheeled on Odysseus, raider of cities. "Stranger, how would you like to work for me if I took you on? I'd give you decent wages, picking the stones to lay a tight, dry wall, or planting tall trees on the edge of my estate. I'd give you rations to last you year-round, clothes for your body, sandals for your feet." "Oh, no, you've learned your lazy ways too well. You've got no itch to stick to good hard work. You'd rather go scrounging round the countryside, begging for crusts to stuff your greedy gut." "Oh, Eurymachus," Odysseus, master of many exploits, answered firmly. "If only the two of us could go, man to man, in the labours of the field, in the late spring, when the long days come round out in the meadow, I swinging a well-curved scythe, and you swinging yours, we'd test our strength for work, fasting right till dusk with lots of hay to mow. Or give us a team of oxen to drive, purebreds, hulking ruddy beasts, both lusty with fodder, paired for age and pulling power that never flags, with 4 acres to work, the loam churning under the plough, you'd see what a straight-up